Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
It's funny, you know, that promo with Jeremy Foster talking about Christmas songs, because, you know, everybody's thinking about Christmas right now, and we're hearing Christmas songs wherever we go. I kind of wondered, you know, in just thinking about Christmas songs, he's exactly right, isn't it? That we all know, like, the first few lyrics to a Christmas song, and then maybe it kind of drops off from there. Especially, and I know this, maybe you don't see this as a Christmas song, but you ever see the movie It's a Wonderful Life? It's a Wonderful Life. Anybody? How many of you, that's your favorite movie? Raise hands, or an emoji in the chat. You say it's a one. One person raised their hand. Two, three. How many of you despise that movie? Like, hands up. How many of you are totally ambivalent? Most of the people in the room. It's probably because you haven't seen it recently, because literally I cry every time I see that movie. But you know the song, there's a song at the end, and it's like, let all acquaintance be forgot. Yeah, exactly. Nobody knows the lyrics to that song. You know, thinking about Christmas songs, literally right before I came up here, I was thinking about Elena came home, and she's our four-year-old. That's her in a kitty cat mask and her Christmas jammies. That's Elena. She's four, okay? So she comes home the other day from church, and it was a total pastor failure moment, all right? Because she comes home and tells Beth, she goes, you know, in four-year-old voice, which I'm not going to impersonate for you, but Mom, I learned the best song at church. And she's like, oh, what is it, honey? And she's like, it's called Away in a Manger. And when Beth told me, I was like, I have failed as a father and a pastor. Like, I never sang that song to her, ever. So funny, and now we play it all the time in the car. But, you know, you think about Christmas songs, you know, the first Christmas song ever recorded, that I ever laid down tracks, was in 1898, and it was Jingle Bells. Jingle Bells was the first song ever recorded. But the very first Christmas song is actually in the Bible. Now, it's not one that we probably would sing, or that any time, any melody that we know, a Christmas melody that might be close and near and dear to our hearts, has ever been put to this song, but it's a powerful song nonetheless. It's called Mary's Song. And it's the song that she composed after being told by the angel Gabriel that she was going to bring the Savior of the world onto the earth. And she writes this song, and it teaches us so much as we walk through the holiday season, and really teaches us so much about life, about the gift of being worked through by God. In fact, I want to speak to you tonight from that subject, the gift of God working through you. Because the fact of the matter is, one of the best and most exciting things that we can experience as a Christian is when God works through us. When we see God's miraculous power work through us. When we see God use us to be an answer to somebody's prayer. When we see God use us to tell somebody about the good news of Jesus. That's one of the best things that could ever happen to us as a believer. And that is the gift, honestly, that God wants all of us to receive during this Christmas. Is God working through us. And Mary's song is an amazing picture of what the principles that are in place when we are worked through by God. How can we be worked through by God? And honestly, you might be thinking, man, I would love God to work for me. I'd love to have that gift. I would love to experience God working through me, but how does that work? Because, you know, maybe, and this is how the enemy works, honestly. He loves to cause us to be insecure. He loves to cause us to feel like we're disqualified. Loves to cause us to think, oh yeah, there was a time when God worked in my life, but I don't really see what he's doing right now. Or yeah, if this wasn't happening, then God could work in my life. The enemy loves that. But the thing that you find when you read the Christmas story is there wasn't anything extra special about Mary. She just positioned herself for God to use her. That it was things in her that allowed her to be used by God, that every one of us, God is no respecter of persons. He wants to use every single person. And if we position ourselves to be used by him, we can see his power work in our life in an amazing way. Yeah. I hope that tonight, as I'm talking, Maybe you've been sitting on the sidelines. Maybe you've been thinking, God couldn't use me. But I hope tonight, as I'm talking and you hear the word of God, that you get a little excited about God using you this Christmas season. God can use you to encourage somebody. God can use you to bless somebody. God can use you to reach somebody, and you are not disqualified. You're not on the outside. You can be on the inside, and God's gonna show you that tonight. How many of you excited about that? It's gonna be great. Now, the first thing we see in Mary's song is that God works through those who walk humbly before him. God works through those who walk humbly before him. I want you to look, this is the very first verse in the song, and she says this, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant." Mary's saying, you know what, God is doing something amazing, and I get to be a part of it. Wow. You know that get to spirit? That spirit that says, man, I get to be here. Man, I get to see God work. It's a humble spirit. It's not a spirit that says, oh yeah, of course God would work through me. Or yeah, would really God work through me? It's like, no, let's magnify God because I get to be his servant. I get to see him work through me. You know, humility isn't self-debasing. Oftentimes we can get that confused. It can be like, man, I'm just horrible, and that's somehow humility. But that's not humility in the Bible. Humility is taking our eyes off of ourselves and putting them on God. What God can do, what God wants to do, what God is doing. It's constantly saying, God, it's not about me, it's about you, God. I don't want to be a part of what I'm doing. I want to be a part of what you are doing. God, I don't want to see what I can do. I want to see what you can do. And that's why she says that. That's why she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. The word in magnifies, the Greek, it has the prefix mega. Makes huge. Makes awesome. Makes big. You know, that's why we celebrate what God has done, because it gives us faith for what he's going to do and takes our eyes off of ourselves and says, you know what? I know I'm facing this, or I know that seems big, but just wait till I magnify the Lord. Just wait till I look at God, because last time I checked, God made the universe. God can do anything. In fact, when the angel Gabriel talks to Mary, Gabriel's saying to her, you know what, you're gonna have a son and you're gonna be a virgin, and that's impossible. He actually references what God has already done in making Mary's cousin Elizabeth pregnant. If you know the story, Elizabeth was an elderly woman and ends up being pregnant with John the Baptist, if you've heard of him in the Bible. And it's an absolute miracle. And Gabriel, because Mary says, how is this going to happen since I'm a virgin? And angel says, you know what, Elizabeth, you know, see Elizabeth? Yeah, you would have thought that was impossible. You would have thought God couldn't do that. Then Gabriel says something really important. Nothing's impossible with God. Yeah. Nothing's impossible with God. That's how you magnify the Lord. You know, some of you, you want God to work in your life, and God wants to use you, but your eyes are constantly on what you bring to the table. Maybe that deficiency, maybe that it's constantly on what you don't have. And honestly, when God is gonna use you, he's gonna put you in a deep end of the pool, okay? That's the best place for God to work. So maybe you might feel like, oh, I don't have enough. Maybe you might feel like, man, how could I do anything here? But then the key is, take your eyes off yourself and put them on God. And say, God, I may feel like I don't have enough, and God, actually, it's true. Apart from you, I can do nothing. But my soul magnifies the Lord. And with God on my side, I can do absolutely anything. And this problem where I see God, I believe God wants me to be a part of the solution. I believe he's gonna do it. That's humility. It's honestly losing self. Sometimes if we get and we're walking through life, and maybe we're struggling a little bit with our eyes on ourselves. That makes the whole thing complicated. Because when we're not feeling deficient, we're feeling prideful. We're like, well, obviously God could use me, or obviously, or man, I really feel up to this task. And we kind of don't pray and we don't think about God and we don't bring God into the situation. And Jesus, then once again, his words come to life and it says, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So if you're nailing it without me, you're actually doing nothing. And that's really humbling. But then sometimes we feel the opposite, don't we? And we're like, oh man, you know, whenever you're trying to get excited about it, then it's like the enemy comes and reminds you of all the things you can't do. And so the whole point is this, you know what? You'll never have what it takes to bring to the table what God could do. Only God can do that. But God wants to use you. So the key is humble yourself before the Lord and watch him work in your life. Amen? God wants to give you the gift of using you, but you're gonna have to take your eyes off yourself. You're gonna have to, you know, some struggle with insecurity. Some, you know, you just walk in the room and you feel intimidated. And you know, you're like, man, I just never get over that. You know what? You're gonna have to lay that down. Instead of trying to get over that, lay it down, say, you know what? That's there. But my eyes are not even gonna be on that. My eyes are gonna be on the Lord. So it doesn't matter what I'm feeling. Does that make sense? It doesn't matter if you feel intimidated. It doesn't matter if you feel like you don't have enough. You might still feel that, but you have your eyes on the truth of who God is. And that's when you're positioned for God to use you. And that's just the best gift you'll ever have. Number two, God works through those who honor him. In verse 50, it says this, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. And this, if you're a student of scripture, and Mary may have even known the psalm, it's Psalm 103 that it kind of references that. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to generation after generation. So what does it mean to fear God? It means to reverence him, to have an awe of him, to have a breathless awe, to say, God, you are awesome. And to have there's a respect in there. You know, the Lord's Prayer, it says, our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name, hallowed be your name. It's a reverence of God. It's setting God and saying, God, you're holy, you're set apart. You know, when you fear God, you reverence him. You recognize God, you're in charge. You're the one in authority. You're the one who's on the throne. There is nothing that can stand against you. And when you recognize his authority, that's a fear of the Lord. It's saying, God, you know, and truly, if you honor God and you recognize that, then you don't have to really be afraid of God because you're positioned in a place for those who fear him. So what's that saying? It's saying, you know what, when you position yourself and say, God, I reverence you, I honor you, I fear you, then you don't have to be afraid of God. And you know, when you say, God, I don't fear you and I don't care about you, that's when even Jesus said, I'll tell you to fear him, all right? And that's Jesus talking about the Father. But when we honor the Lord and when we reverence him and we walk in a fear of him, we're positioning ourselves to be used by him. You know, you think Mary, it's like the angel comes, talks to her, and it's like, Mary. And that's how angels talk, I guess.
Mary.
It's very scary. Scary angel. Not like that. Sorry, guys. But you think the angel talks to her, and then all of a sudden, she has all these characteristics of fearing the Lord and honoring the Lord. But no, she had positioned herself that way. And that's why God was able to work through her. You know, when we fear the Lord, honestly, it's sometimes God's calling you to pray for something. Sometimes God's speaking to you about a situation. And it's you saying, God, I'm going to put you first. God, I'm going to ask what your will is in this. God, I'm going to seek your direction on this. That's honoring the Lord. And that's when God begins to work through you. Sometimes we can say, God, where are you in this? God, why are you doing this? And God's like, hey, just take a moment, stop asking those questions and start saying, God, what do you want me to do? Because we are first and foremost not just tools that God will use or not just people that we are blessed. We're first and foremost servants of God. Servants of the Most High God. And as we recognize that, God says, you know what? That's somebody I want to work through. You know what I love about God? I love that God does all the work and then he uses us and then blesses us for what he did. I love that. It's actually what makes me really excited about being used by the Lord. It's because God, I'm like, God, you want to bless me. You want to give me mercy. You want to use me. And God, you're going to do the work and then you're going to get the glory for it. But I get to be blessed through it. That's the awesomeness. And when we say, God, I'll honor you. And God, I want to respect you. God, I put you first. Then, and God, you're the authority. And God, I recognize that. So I'm just going to read you this scripture after the out of the message. It's the same scripture, but it shows you how that awe of God works and how that understanding works. And I want you to read it as I read it and think, is that how I view walking with the Lord? Is that how I view God working in my life? Am I really honoring the Lord? You know, honoring can seem so abstract, but honoring is just honestly giving God what's his. And it's saying, God, you're in charge. And God, I believe what you said. That's honoring the Lord. And God, I put myself under your authority. Watch what happens. This is Mary saying, his mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. You know, sometimes we think we got to do something for God's mercy. But it's not. It's not like that. Think of the gospel. Think of people getting saved. What do they have to do to receive God's mercy? They have to honor him. Make him Lord of their life. Say, God, I want to give you my whole life. That's it. What do you have to do to have God use you? You don't have to do anything. You just have to honor him. It's a position of the heart. And you know what you get? Wave after wave of his mercy. For those who are in awe before him. He bared his arm. This is her talking about God's strength. Showed his strength. Scattered the bluffing braggarts. He knocked down tyrants off their high horses and pulled victims out of the mud. What's she saying? She's saying God can do anything. There's no authority that he is not greater than. There's no person who's shouting all kinds of stuff that he cannot overcome. And that's honoring the God. You know what? If we get intimidated by the opposition, you know what? We need to get our eyes off of that and say, I'm not going to give them that kind of honor. I'm going to honor the Lord. I'm going to honor the Lord. I know he can come through. I know he is able. And that positions us for God to use us. Third, and I'm going to ask the musicians to come. God works through those who are hungry for him to work. Verse 53 says, he's filled the hungry with good things. Now, as we're in a prayer meeting, it's like the perfect place to talk about this. Maybe you're watching this online and you're here because you're hungry. But I'll tell you this, it's the amount of hunger we have for the things of God, the amount of hunger we have for God to move, really is a catalyst and a driver of what God does in our life. And you'll see that in scripture over and over again. It's not the full who get the blessing, it's the hungry. You know, it is the holidays and it's Christmas time, and so we all think about food around that time. And it makes me think of a story where Beth and I were early in our marriage and we were going to like some extended family's house. And I didn't know very many of the people that well. And when you're in that environment, you know, I'll just tell you, the best thing you can do is come hungry. But I made the mistake of going this one time. And I was so full when I got there and there was food everywhere. And I just remember being like, that was the only thing, you know, when the only thing you can do is eat, you're like, at least I can eat when I'm there, you know? But I was so full. And even with all that amazing food around, I was not hungry at all and didn't eat anything. And I think I'd filled up on like Starbucks sandwiches or something. So it was very lame walking into that. But you know, I was thinking of that and then thinking of this scripture, he's filled the hungry with good things. And oftentimes, if we want to be used by God, the thing that's holding us back isn't the thing we have, it's actually the thing we're full of. It's not the thing that we bring in, it's the fact that we're full of stuff. We're full of other things because we're just filling our life with distraction, or we're filling our life with things that are other than that, or trying to fill it with activity. And we got to say, God, am I hungry for you to work in my life? God, do I really want that? Do I really want that? And what does he give us if we are hungry for that? He fills the hungry with good things. You know, the word mercy shows up in this, and the God being great, and then you got these good things. And I just think of that scripture where it says, oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you've stored up for those who fear you. You've stored up good things for those who honor you. And just for a few minutes tonight, I want you to think and say, okay, God, if you want to use me, am I excited about that? Did I come in tonight hungry? Did I come in tonight ready? Did I come in tonight saying, God, I'm ready to see you move. God, I'm ready to put my eyes on you. Or did I come in tonight full? Because God has things for you. God has things he's gonna work through you to do. God has things he's gonna speak to you, but you're gonna have to posture yourself and say, God, it's not about me, God. This holiday is not about me. Christmas time is not about me. 2020 is not about me. My neighborhood is not about me. My job is not about me. It's about what you wanna do. And God, I'm hungry to see you move. This is not hunger. God, I wish you would move. I wish you'd do something, God. This is how I feel like when I say wish, you know? It's like, and I think God's like, stop walking that way, all right? That's not hunger. Hunger is, God, I believe what your word says, and I'm gonna pray until I see it. You know, there's a story about a widow and an unjust judge. And she comes to him, and she's asking him to give her justice for her cause. And she keeps asking him, and this is a judge who doesn't fear God or people. This is a story Jesus told. And she keeps asking him and keeps asking him. And then finally he says, I don't even care about people and I don't care about God, but because this lady keeps bothering me, I'm gonna do something about her cause. And Jesus says, you know what? That's the way you should pray. Because God responds to hunger. God responds to that hunger. There's a power in that hunger. There's a humility in the hunger. They're saying, God, I don't want to be full of anything else. I want to be full of you. God, there's nothing that can fill me up except you working through me. God, I'm hungry to see you move in that person's life. God, I'm hungry to see you work in the church. God, I'm hungry to see you use me. You know, hunger will drive you to places. It'll drive you past your comfort zone. It'll drive you to do things. You know, I made pie during Thanksgiving. I never make pie, but I was super hungry that day. And I was like, I'm making a pie, all right? I made two pies that day, actually. And so the hunger drives you. You ever try to cook when you're not hungry? It's terrible. You make the worst food that way. The best cooks are the hungry cooks. That's just true about life, though. The best services are the one you come in hungry. The one where you're like, God, I don't see how this is gonna happen. God, I need you to move. But you know, we can stir up that hunger. You put yourself in the right place. You say, God, I'm gonna get in your word. God, I'm gonna get into a dream team. God, I want you to move. But God, that's not gonna happen if you just sit there and be like, I'm so full. No, no. No, God says, get up, get hungry. Humble yourself. And Mary's singing this song, this first Christmas song, and she's saying, this is how it works. God has worked powerfully in my life and is working powerfully in my life. It's the best gift ever. And she says, you know how that worked? It's just all him. And that's how God wants to work in your life. You know how that worked? It was his power. You know how that worked? I was just hungry. And tonight, God wants to work in your life. This Christmas season, you can see him work in your life more than ever before.